Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. So now I'm going to tell some Mahabharata stories. So the last time that we did any kind of Mahabharata, Arjuna, he went to Himalayas and he was doing austerity because he wanted to go to Swargaloka to get weapons. Because the Pandavas, they had had the dice match, and they had lost, and they had to go. And so, in Arjuna and Krishna had defeated the Devas, Indra, to save Agni. And so what had happened was that the Devas said, in the future, you come and you get weapons from us in Swargaloka. So Arjuna had decided that he was going to go up to Swarga and get these weapons. So because they were going to have they wanted to fight with Duryodhan. So Arjuna, he went up to Swarga. He did the austerities in Shiva. He satisfied Shiva, and then he got the then Indra's chariot driver came and took him up to Swarga. And that's where I left off. So Arjuna, he went to Swargaloka, and Indra greeted him. They went through these places. There was he flew up into the heavens, and he saw all the stars were glowing mansions where devas lived. And he went higher than the stars, and he went to the kingdom of Indra. And the kingdom of Indra, Matali said, you can't pass through the gates of Indra if you turn back from any challenge. If you've ever faced a problem and you run away, then you can never enter the gates of heaven. So that so they took Arjuna, you know, into Swarga, and this beautiful city. Indra sits there as the king. They have a Deva Sabha, which is of Indra, which is 100 yojans tall. No, 100 yojans wide and 3 yojans tall. It's made of solid gold. And the city of Indra has high walls made with gems. And it looks like a rainbow because there's so many different kinds of colored gems on it. And the so the Sabha of Indra is made of solid gold. And in the middle, there is there's a tiered seating, and Indra, he sits on the eastern side, and he has he sits up there, and he has he wears a huge mala of pearls, of 100,000 pearls, string, and they cover his chest, and he has a rainbow, and the he has a huge club also, made of solid iron. And he has a Shakti dart, which he can throw. And then he has the Vajra, the thunderbolt. And with the thunderbolt, he has three kinds of thunder. One is the Vajra, the thunderbolt scepter, that he can shoot. It's made from the bones of Dadichi. And he can shoot that and kill the demons. And then there's Thunder Astra, which comes, there's the dry lightning and the wet lightning. The wet lightning is the lightning that comes when there's rain. And the dry lightning is the lightning that comes, they call it heat lightning, and it's static electricity. So those are the three kinds of thunder that Indra commands. And so Indra sits there, and then below him in the Sabha, there's the 49 Maruts, which are storm gods. And they control all, when Indra goes anywhere, they go with him. He has these huge elephants that are related to Airavata. Airavata is the king of elephants. But there's four, and he gave his Maruts, these 49 elephants. They're actually Asuras. But they're Daityas. They're the sons of Diti. But because Indra served Diti, while she was pregnant with him because he was scared that her son would kill him. She actually started to like Indra. And so when the feeling that the mother has, the baby has. So actually the sons came out and they all liked Indra. So, because Indra kept on serving her, she started to kind of like him. And so instead of hating him. So the sons of Indra, the sons of Diti, they actually started to, you know, like Indra. They were his friends.
You want to tell that story about the Maruts?
Oh, yeah, yeah, how the Maruts came to be. Yeah. So Indra killed so many demons in the battle of the Milk Ocean. And Diti was very angry at him. So she did tapasya for many, many years. And she held this embryo in her womb doing tapasya and make so she could have a super baby that would kill Indra. So Indra got scared. So, you know, she's doing tapasya, I think it was 1,000 years, you know. That's a long time. So to have a pregnancy, I mean, you can imagine. So it's heavy tapasya. So Indra, he is serving her very, like, because, you know, technically she's his aunt because, you know, she's the sister of his mother. So he went there and he was serving her this whole time. And the reason he was serving her because he was wanting to see if she would break, have some fault with her austerities. So she was, like, looking in and he was looking, what's going on? So one time she was lying in the wrong, she put her head where her feet should be. So Indra, he flew inside the womb and he shot a thunderbolt at the baby. And it split into seven. And they all started to cry. So he said, Maru, Maru, which means don't cry. Then, because Rudra, the crying, Ravana Rudra. Rudra means, so Maru, Maru means be quiet, calm down, don't cry. So then they were crying, so then they were still alive. So he shot his thunderbolt again to all the seven babies. And then they all became 49. And then they were all crying. He said, Maru, Maru. So that's what they called Maruts. So those are the Maruts, and they are actually the, like, they're like the special forces of Indra's army. They ride on the big elephants, and when he goes to war, they go with him. They make the wind, actually. Vayu is in charge of prana, the life air. Vayu is not in charge of the wind that blows, that we're feeling right now, the nice breeze. That's the Maruts. There's 49 of them. They're in charge of different winds. Some, you know, heavy wind or light wind. And basically what they do is, you may not know, but the clouds are actually like a cow. And they're a living thing. And the Maruts kind of herd them through the sky and they with the wind. And these big clouds, they pick up the rainwater in one place and then they bring it to another. So that's what their function is. They move it, and that's why Indra is friends with them. And as you know, the wind comes and then the storm comes. And the Maruts use the wind and they herd these big, huge rain clouds through the sky and bring rain where Indra wants it to go. That's pretty much what they do. And so they're like his right-hand men. They're really strong. They're really powerful, actually. You know, the wind is strong. And they're covered with armor, and they describe their armor. They have spears. They have spears with that shine like the sunlight. They ride around on antelope. Sometimes they talk about them on antelope, and sometimes it's on an elephant. But that they have spears that shine like the sunlight, and their armor is golden and covered with gems. And they also have clubs and swords and battle axes and all kinds of weapons just hanging off of them. And they just they can yeah.
Vayu also rides on an antelope. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So they're similar kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Vayu rides on the Renku deer, which is a black deer, which the sages put on the ground. Apparently, the smell of it keeps the snakes don't like. That's why they keep the deer skin. They put the grass mat, so it's a certain height, And then they put the deer skin on it, because they're deep in samadhi and they don't want to be bothered with the bugs and the snakes. And apparently the black deer, the skin of the deer, the snakes, they don't like the smell and the bugs too, so they can just be undisturbed with their meditation. So that's Vayu, he writes on it. So also, there's these soldiers of Indra. Indra has an army. It's the celestial army. Millions and millions. And also Gandharvas, they fight in his army. He has 14 million Gandharvas in his army. It says, there's one great sadhu in the Madhvacharya line. His name was Jagannath Dasaru. And he wrote a book called Harikathamrita. And it has very detailed descriptions of all these kind of things. So, anyway, there's seven Gandharva kings in each, seven tribes of Gandharvas that live in Swarga. And the seven Gandharva kings are very powerful. And they're kind of like the gophers for Indra. Like, if he needs something done, he'll say, go do. So, and each one of those tribes has 2,000 soldiers in the Indra's army. So they're really powerful, actually. Their wings are glow, and they fly in the sky, and they shoot the bows and arrows, and they have different kind of astras. They convert their shakti into, like, destructive force. And phew, Gandharva astras, there's three. They can they take their shakti and turn into a missile kind of thing. Then another thing that they do is they can do something, and all of a sudden they're one place, and then in the blink of an eye, they're in another place. And then they did that with, I'm going to get into that, they did that with Karna.
Karna. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the third one is they can actually, and they're a master of that one, then they can just, not only can they move themselves, but they can move a whole bunch of them at once. They can move himself and then everybody around him.
So they can synchronize.
Yeah, they can synchronize. And that's what they did with Karna. And all of a sudden, boom, that's their city. They're powerful beings. So they're mostly made of mind and intelligence. They're not as much made of matter like us.
The soldiers themselves.
Yeah, yeah. The Gandharva species, you could say. The Gandharva species, they're not really so much made of earth, air, fire, water, ether. They're mostly made of ether and mind and intelligence. But they have enough of the other elements. This is why, like, for example, if you have the fire element present, then you can see it. But if something doesn't have the fire element, it's invisible. If it has the air element in it, then you can feel it. If it has the earth element in it, you can smell it. So that's the way these things work. So some beings, they're made of more subtle elements, so we can't see. So that's that, like devatas but they have enough of these things in them that they can become present, but they can control it. Like, then, the Gandharvas, they're mostly invisible, but then they can become present. Because they can control these elements, the fire and the wind and the... So then, these are some of the beings. And so there's Indra's army is composed of kings who die in battle. And if they're virtuous enough, then he actually empowers them, and they sit in his army. And he gives them divine weapons and things like that. And they describe his army like when he fought with Vritrasura, he had a huge army. They talk about it. And all the demons started ripping up trees and throwing mountains at the army of Indra. But Indra, he has the rainbow. The other day there was a double rainbow. Indra, he has a rainbow and he shoots his arrows like rain. And so all the mountains and all the trees and whatever they threw on his soldiers, they got blown so small that the soldiers didn't even know that they got thrown at them. So, but they talk about this army of Indra and... So all these beings are there, and then they have 45 million rishis that live within Amravati. And they do huge, so that the Sabha of Indra has a, in the middle of it is empty. And they have lots of kundas, the fire, havana, for jagya. So Brihaspati is the chief priest. And there, but there's all these other sages, and they do all kinds of jagya for Vishnu and the devatas and all this stuff, like all the time. It's all going on in the middle. There's four big, good jagyas have four havana. It's supposed to have four fire for right kind of jagya. And some fire, one fire is for the earth, one fire is for the swarg, bu, bor, swa. And then there's another one, I think, for this. Those are the, that's the kind of havana. So they have this big, and then there's one section. So also the apsaras, that's like in the center, but then they have other sections, and the apsaras are dancing and the gandharvas are playing. Gandharvas have two jobs. Sometimes they're fighting, and sometimes they're doing entertainment. So then there's all these, you know, 330 million devas, and they all live in Amravati too. It's a huge city. They all live in this place, and they have houses and palaces there, but then there's the Deva Sabha is the biggest, and it's, what is that? What's two yojans? How big is two yojans?
16 miles
tall. Yeah. That's the palace of the Sabha of Indra, 16 miles tall, and it's 800 miles long. And he made that himself. So that's the Deva Sabha of Indra. So they were took, and they took Arjuna in there. And all the devas, he saw them. And Indra was so happy. You know, Indra has a huge throne, actually, which he shares with Sachi. But because his Arjuna came, then Indra said, come sit. So he actually scooted away Sachi, and Arjuna sat on the throne. And Indra, you know, he was sitting there, and he looked, because he's huge, you know, Indra's big. And Arjuna was like a little baby next to him. And he was petting him and treating him just like a little baby, because in front of everybody, you know. And he was like touching his head, smelling his head, and just touching him, and he has this palm that it has nectar come out of it, of life, you know. So, but that's his, you know, Indra's really, so the Indra was like that. All the apsaras, they were dancing, and Indra wanted to show Arjuna a nice time. So he had all the apsaras do a special dance, and the Gandharvas did the, you know, so that's the way swarga is all the time. It's always some party. There's always some celebration for some reason. And they're always, you know, having some fun for some reason. There's some reason to have fun. They'll find it. So then, you know, there's the Nandanandana garden. So he's seen all these places too. The grass is as soft as the foam of milk. The roads are paved with gold, because gold is soft, you see. The trees are huge, and they're covered with fruit. It's so much fruit, it's hanging down. Now you have to understand that the celestials, they don't need to eat to survive, because they don't need to eat to live. Like human beings, if you're not eating, you know, you're going to start dying or something. You better be really strong yogi, or, you know. But the devas, they don't need to eat. They don't get hungry, but they eat because it's fun to eat. So they eat sattvic things. So they'll eat like fruits, and mostly they're eating all the being. They're eating like fruits and milk sweets. That's mostly what they talk about them eating. Like they'll eat kheer, or, you know, different kinds of milk sweets, like, you know, burfi and laddus, and they eat like mangoes and things like that. Asuras, and they drink varuni and different things like that. But and they have a drink called sura also. But so this is the devata. So Arjuna has seen all these things. And then Indra took him away to this room after the celebration. He noticed that Arjuna was looking at Urvashi also. So he thought, oh, he must like her. So then he took him away to this room, and there was all the shaktis, the weapons. Because all the weapons are actually devas. There's a demigod in charge of every weapon. And the guru, what the guru does is he gives you mantra to worship this demigod, and then you have the power to control the weapon. But it has to come from a guru. Otherwise, you can say the mantra all day, it's not going to work. So the guru, you can say, you know, what is it? Krim, that's the mantra for thunderbolt. But, you know, it has in the Dhanur Veda. So, you know, the mantra for the, if they're all bij mantra. Bij means seed. So all the weapons, they are bij mantras, like klim and krim and shrom, and all these are bij mantras. So all the weapons are simple, just bij mantras. So you say it, but they're, you know, connected to the day. So you have to have a qualified guru in the martial, and then they'll tell you, and then they kind of initiate you into the mantra, and then you can control the weapon. But you, otherwise, you can say it all day, it's not going to work. So it's only by the, yeah. So that's the, so Arjuna was there, and they had all these weapons. So Indra took him and personally showed him all the weapons, and he instructed all the weapons, the gods who are in charge of all the weapons, that they need to be subservient to Arjuna. And that if he, whatever he tells them, they have to do. And since, you know, he's the king of the devas, then they have to listen. So then, so Arjuna, he received all the weapons. So he was very happy. And he was ready to go. And Indra said, no, stay. He wanted him to stay a little longer. Now Arjuna stayed 5 years in human land, but it's only 5 days in Swarga. Because if he stayed 5 years in Swarga, then that's like, I think he would have come back just recently. It's a long time. It's a long time. 5 days in Swarga is long. 5 years, I mean. 5 years in Swarga is a long time. But 5 days is not so long. So he just stayed 5 days in Swarga, and so all the devas, they taught. So Indra said, I stay a little longer, and Chitrangada, he will teach you how to sing and dance. So Chitrangada, he was teaching Arjuna how to sing and dance, and he didn't exactly know why he was being taught that, but so he was listening, and he's being taught how to sing and dance. And so the different gun up. So while he was there, he was very sad to miss his family, because he was gone and from the for a long time. He was doing that tapasya, and then he was there in Swarga, and he didn't look too happy. Another thing is that he told Indra everything that Duryodhana had done, all the whole, you know, all the mean things that Duryodhana had done, you know, the gambling and how they stole his kingdom and all those things. So Indra actually got really shocked, and he was actually really sad and angry at everything that had happened. But he was feeling bad, and he's thinking, you know, because one thing is that when people generally, when they go to Swarga Loka, they go there to enjoy, right? And Arjuna, he wasn't just like absorbed in enjoyment while he was there. And Indra was surprised. He thought he must be really depressed. You know, he's the king of heaven, and then heaven's like a recreation place. and Arjuna's there, and he's not having fun. So Indra kind of felt like, oh my God, you know, I'm really, you know, making a big mistake. So I have to, you know, make sure he's happy. So then that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is, he understood that he actually was kind of trying to get Arjuna to, there's a certain situation he was setting Arjuna up for, which we're going to get into. So he went to one, there's several levels. So he said, Chitrangada, come here. So Chitrangada is he's one of the Gandharva kings, and Indra goes to him a lot, actually. So he said, Chitrangada, I have one request for you. He said, you know, you have taught Arjuna many of the Gandharva ways, singing and dancing. He said, but now I need you to help him understand the ways of being around apsaras. So Chitrani, he said, go to Urvashi and say some nice things to her about Arjuna and try and get her to visit Arjuna. So then Arjuna, so Chitrangada, he went to Arjuna, he went to Urvashi, because Arjuna, Indra had seen that Arjuna, he kind of had eyes for Urvashi, but he didn't understand the, we'll get into that. So Chitrangada went to Urvashi and he started describing Arjuna. He said, in this city there's this handsome man, and he, today is actually, right now the moon is in Uttara Falgun, so Arjuna was born under Uttara Falgun. So he was born under the auspicious Uttara Falgun. He's very handsome and very beautiful. And you know, he's the son of Indra, and he's the king of the Kurus, and started talking up Arjuna very nice. And he said, Indra would like you to visit him. So she said, I don't need a request from Indra, I will go anyway. So then she went to see Indra, and she was dressed very beautifully. And actually, you know, the devatas, they're so used to seeing beautiful women. But the way that Urvashi dressed herself with the special ornaments and different things, and the Gandharvas, they saw her, and they were just looking, and they would actually fall off of their airplanes. The celestial people, they would look, and then they would fall off their airplanes. Some people fainted. She is so beautiful. So she was walking along and to see Indra. So Indra, she's walking along to see Arjuna. So she went to, Arjuna was staying in a special place. And he had actually one servant there. And so she knocked on the door, and the servant answered the door. And she said, tell Arjuna I'm here. So then she waited in one room, and Arjuna went to see. And then she was so beautiful, he actually closed his eyes. And he said, what are you doing here dressed like that? He said, oh, I have come here to enjoy with you. And Arjuna said, no. He said, I cannot do that. She said, but I heard that you were looking at me. He said, I've heard many stories of you, but you're the mother of my race. You married Yayati, and that was 36 generations previous. So I can only see you as my grandmother. And she was very offended. You never call a beautiful woman your grandmother. So she actually was very offended. But first she said, it's okay, the Swarga is different than the earth. The rules that we have here are different. She said, I have been with many of the descendants of Yayati. And so Arjuna said, no, I can only see you as my grandmother. So she got angry and she said, actually, if you do not want to be with me, then I shall curse you to be a eunuch. So Arjuna was scared. So he went to Indra. And he said, Indra, you know, she cursed me to be a eunuch. So Indra said, okay, just calm down. I'll reduce the curse to just 1 year. And he said, if you're going to be incognito, everybody knows Arjuna. You're one of the most famous people in the whole world. So I kind of arranged this so that you wouldn't be recognized. So that was kind of Indra's people. Sometimes people do things to two things at the same time.
Yeah, two birds with one stone.
Yeah. So Indra kind of arranged that whole situation so that Arjuna would be protected. So Arjuna, So while he was there, well, there was this clan of demons. They're called the Nivata Kavachas. They did tapasya to be immune to being killed by devas. And they didn't expect a human being to be in Swarga. So they went there to fight. And so Indra said, you know, we can't fight with them, so you please help us. So this is one of my evidences why Arjuna was 1,000 times better than Karna. Well, I don't know about 1,000, but, you know, Karna, Arjuna, you know, the whole time Karna's just sitting in Hastinapur, but Arjuna, he's doing heavy tapasya. He gets all these weapons from the devas, and then he's fighting, you know, he fought with 40,000 demons, single-handed. He fought with 40,000 of these demons. They come, he left Amravati, and he had Indra's chariot, which is useful, you know. But he had all these weapons, and he just blew them all away, you know. All these demons, they just He killed them, and they were run. The ones that he didn't kill, they ran.
I'd like to mention that Nivitikavacha means airtight suits. So
airtight armor.
Armor. Okay.
Yeah, kavacha means armor.
Yeah, so it's like a space.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a space
Airproof armor. Airtight. So he killed these demons, the Nivitikavacha. Yes. And he killed, there's 40,000 of them, and he just blew them away. So these demons, he took them out. So, you know, this is Arjuna. And, you know, there's so many Gandharvas, they went to fight with Karna, and all he did was cry mama and ran away. So, you know, this Arjuna is way better. So, then after it was done, Indra gave him a great celestial helmet. And that's why one of his names is Kiritan. Yeah. Because he wears the celestial crown. They gave him a celestial crown to wear. So then after he defeated the Nivitikavachas and he fought with the... they gave him the crown, and then he went back. So while he was up in Swarga, the Pandavas was down on the earth. So they decided that they were going to go to Badri. Badri, they're going to go to Badri, Uttar Badri, which is Badika Ashram. It's where Narayan used to live. There's a place, it's a valley in the, they haven't found it, but it's a valley in the Himalayas, and it's even though it's in the mountains, it's filled with beautiful flowers and fruits, and it's almost like Swarga. It's filled with flowers, fruits, and all kinds of nice places, and the weather's nice. Although I do have to comment at this point that the cold weather is actually a symptom of Kali Yuga. In the Satya Yuga, there was no such thing as what we call winter. That's just a symptom of Kali Yuga. And the more sin there is, the more cold it is. So if you want to stop global warming, don't chant Hare Krishna. The more we chant, the better. I guess we did enough jugya this year because it's been warm, you know. I'm just mentioning. Winter is actually a symptom. Cold weather is actually caused by sin. So the Pandavas, they were up in Badri, and it's actually warm. Even though it's in the Himalayas, it's warm. So there was one beautiful 1,000-petaled golden lotus that blew in on a breeze, and Draupadi caught it. And she liked it very much. It smelled very beautiful and celestial, actually. So Bhima said, "Draupadi, you like it?" She said, "I like it very much." He said, "I will give you a whole armful." So Bhima, you know, he's strong. So he's running through the forest. And if there's a tree in the way, he'll just kick it over. And he's running and running and going through all these different places and doing different things. And then he comes, he's going on the road, and then he stops. Because there's one old monkey laying in the road. So, big monkey, by the way. Yeah, it was like a hill. It looked like a hill. Big monkey. It looked like a hill. It was lying in the road. And he said, "Get out of the way." And the monkey said, "I'm too old. I cannot move." He said, "Get out of the way. I will lift you up like how Hanuman lifted the mountain." So the monkey said, "Hanuman? Who is Hanuman?" Bhima said, "Come on. You're a monkey? You don't know who Hanuman is?" He said, "No." He said, "Yeah, he's my brother, actually. And he is the king of all monkeys. So you have to listen to me." He said, "I am too old." He said, "Just jump over me." He said, "I can't do that." He said, "Fine, then just lift up my tail and move it, and then you can go." So Bhima, he got down and he went to lift the tail, but he couldn't. First, he had one hand. He thought maybe this monkey is a demon. So he grabbed the monkey with one hand, and he was going to pick him up and swing him and throw him away. But he lived with one hand, he couldn't lift. So then he grabbed with two hands, and he couldn't lift. And he's struggling. Two hands he couldn't lift. And this is Bhima. I mean, Bhima is strong as 10,000 elephants. So he couldn't even lift. So then he realized, oh, this is Hanuman. So he bowed down, actually. And Hanuman said, this path you're going on, it actually goes into Swarga. And I am guarding this, and you can't go beyond this place. I'm actually guarding this place. So they were talking, and Hanuman, earlier, actually, Hanuman had met Arjuna. And he had promised that, do you know the story?
No.
Oh, okay, I guess I might as well tell this story, how Hanuman met Arjuna. So Arjuna was actually walking, and he saw it with Krishna. And he saw a river. And he just started talking. He said, you know, I heard that in Treta Yuga, you know, Rama, he built this bridge across the ocean with stones. But, you know, if you're a good archer, you can build a bridge out of arrows. Why did he have to use stones? That's, you know, what's the use? So then there was a monkey, and Krishna said, I don't know. So there's this big monkey in the tree, and he said, you know, the monkeys are heavy. If you build a bridge out of arrows, it will collapse. And Arjuna said, no. He said, if you have competent skill, it can hold any monkey. So the monkey said, you want to test that? So Arjuna said, okay, it's a wager then. He said, my Kshatriya honor I put on this. So he shoots all these arrows and he makes a bridge across the river. And so the monkey gets down from the tree and he walks and the bridge collapses, 1 foot. Then Arjuna, he shoots another bridge with more arrows. And then the monkey walks on the bridge and then breaks. Then he shoots another bridge, his strongest bridge, his most he can do. And the monkey gets on it and it breaks. And Arjuna starts to cry, actually. He pulls a knife out and he's going to kill himself right then and there. Because, you know, for a Kshatriya, their honor is everything. And so and then Krishna said, Hanuman, you say sorry to him. So actually the monkey was Hanuman. So the monkey says, and so Hanuman says, I'm sorry. Krishna says, you should, you know, give him a benediction or something. So Hanuman says, you know, in the battle of Kurukshetra, he says, you're going to fight in a great battle, and I will sit on your chariot and roar and scare your enemy. So actually, it was not just a flag. You know, sometimes they have a picture and a flag on, Hanuman picture on a flag. It was actually him. He was sitting up there. You know, hey, hey, hey. You know, he was scaring everybody. And, you know, I got a little excited there.
Do you happen to remember where this pastime is mentioned?
Oh, yeah. No, I know, but I know it's, because the reason I remember it is because I read it in this book called The Names of the Mahabharat, and I looked up Hanuman, and it was in there. But I'll get you the place. I didn't know about it either, and then I seen it. I forget where it is exactly, but I think it's in one of the later Parvas, and they just kind of do a flashback story. I'll get it for you. But it's actually a pretty famous story, and that's why Hanuman was on the. He was actually up there, and when Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, he was actually sitting up there, and he was listening in. He's bending over, you know. Well, what's they saying? So Hanuman, actually, he's a great devotee, and his birthday is going to be this Friday. Friday is the full moon. And it's
full moon, yeah.
Yeah, Hanuman Jayanti.
Oh. It's also Shamananda's appearance, I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, this Friday is going to be Hanuman Jayanti. It's his birthday. So I was in India, actually, and...
So, Good Friday.
Yeah, good...
Passover.
So Hanuman told Bhima, he said, I'm going to go there and be on his flag. And he said, but I can go to Hastinapur right now and destroy the whole city if you want. And Bhima said, no, it's okay. And so, actually... For several chapters in Mahabharata, Hanuman speaks Ramayana.
To
Bhima.
Bhima.
Yeah. So it's several chapters. He mentions all the, you know, it's quite a bit of space, actually. And he tells a lot of Ramayana to Bhima. And so Then Bhima says, please show me that form that you did when you jump across the ocean. And Hanuman says, the earth was bigger then. He said, as the yugas progress, the earth actually shrinks in size. Wow. He said, I cannot possibly show you that form that I took because the earth could not hold me. But so Hanuman, he said, okay, I'll show you something. So he grew so huge that his head was touching the clouds. And he started roaring, and just him talking, all the mountains would shake. And Bhima actually got down on his hands and knees and had to cover his ears. So Hanuman was saying, you know, this is the form that I did when I jumped across Lanka. You know, and so Bhima was happy to see that. So Bhima said, where are these 1,000-petal gold lotus? He said, oh, they're over there by Kubera's place. So Bhima, he ran over there. Hanuman told him where to go. So there was all these lotuses, and there's these big yakshas and rakshasas. They're tough, you know. But Bhima, he doesn't like rakshasas. And he married one, but he don't like them, and generally speaking. So, you know, these rakshasas were there, and he saw these, you know, lotuses. Now, he's king. He's a king, you know. He's a raja. He's not used to taking orders from anybody. He does what he wants to do. You know, he's a sovereign. He's a sovereign, you know, sovereign of his own nation. So he walked right in this lake and started picking the flowers. And rakshasas, they're not, you know, yakshas and rakshasas don't have the best manners. I'll put it that way. And they started to say, hey, you little stupid human, get out of here. And Bhima didn't even pay attention, you know. So he's grabbing these lotuses. And so they actually started to, let's put it this way, accost him, you know. They was grabbing him, wanting to arrest him or beat him up. They were just going to try and beat him up, you know. So he actually started pounding them, and he broke all their arms. He broke all their arms and sent them running.
I think I just realized this is when Draupadi, the whole thing started when Draupadi got this lotus, or she wanted a lotus from a certain place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they smelt the aroma, and that's the whole beginning of Bhima's journey.
Yeah, yeah. So he went there and he took the lotuses. And so these demons, you know, he broke all their arms, and some of them he broke their skulls, and some of them he killed. And they all kind of, the ones that weren't too badly hurt, they all dragged each other away. And then they told Kubera, there's this guy, you know, he beat us up. You know, you do something. Kubera said, you know, he's actually a great personality. And you should have, he said, what happened? So they told him, and he's like, you should have been nicer to him. But so then actually Bhima come back with all these flowers. And he showed them to Draupadi, and then he told him about the lake. So the Pandavas all wanted to see it, so they went there. And they were actually, then they decided to camp by this lake. And Bhima said he wanted to see Kubera's place. So he climbed up the side of a mountain, and then there's the, you know, Kubera's kingdom. And so he started walking, and he kind of, he blew his conch shell. And so it was just kind of his way of announcing that he was there. But there was one demon, his name was Maniman. And he actually was a very nasty fellow. He had a notion that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a big Mayavadi, actually. And one time he saw that, he thought that he was the most important thing in the universe, which is a problem with many, but especially with him. And so he actually one time was traveling, and Sage Augustine was there, and they had to, he was crossing a path or something, and Manimat, they had to wait, and he got impatient. And so he went over there, and he spit on him, which is, let me tell you, it's something you don't do. especially, Augustia spit on, Manimat spit on Augustia. Because he didn't have respect for rishis. He's a demon. you know, when you think you're God, then, you know, then, anyway, so he, so, and he, I think he kicked him, and he was really mean. And so Augustia cursed him that him and his whole army, because he was the general, him and his whole army would be killed. So the thing that, so he blew on the, Bhima blew on the conch shell, and Maniman came out, and he had heard that his soldiers had got beat up by Bhima, so he wanted to kill Bhima. So he brought a bunch of soldiers, like 40,000. They all charged at Bhima, the yakshas and rakshasas. They charged at Bhima. And Bhima, he had his club, you know. This club that was as strong as 100,000 clubs. It was like indestructible, you know. And it was huge. It took 7 men to carry to Bhima. But he had it, you know. And boom, and he smashed all these yakshas and killed all of them, including Manima. And Yudhisthira was a little worried. He's like, you know, you shouldn't be killing these. But Kubera came and he was angry at first, actually. He was one to kill Bhima. But then he remembered how Maniman had been cursed. And so then he actually realized, you know, this, there was a lot of bad karma attached to that. So he, you know, now it's been freed. So actually he came and he, instead of being angry at Bhima, he actually bowed down to Bhima. And he said, thank you for, you know, this is a lot of karma that I had with all these bad soldiers. So now they're all gone.
And this is when Yudhisthira met Kubera too.
Yeah, they all went there. And then actually they stayed there for some time. And at that point, Gaudakacha actually came to meet them. And Gaudakacha and Bhima, they would play wrestle, and Bhima taught Gaudakacha how to wrestle. Because all the Rakshasas, they live up there in the Himalayas.
They what? Say?
Rakshasas and Yakshas generally live in Kubera, with Kubera. Gandharvas, Kinaras, Kimparushas. Sometimes they go to other places in the Borloka, but a lot of them live, they kind of have like a, I guess, a colony there. I guess it's the best word for it. So then they went to, that's why they was there. And then they met a sage, actually, and he told them that he had seen Arjuna and that Arjuna would be coming back at a certain place. So then they waited there, and then Arjuna came back from Swarga, and he met his brothers. So then they were going, and Indra, you know, he had heard what had happened, and after Arjuna left, he started getting angry. Indra was really angry, actually, and
because of what Duryodhana had
done. Yeah, because of what Duryodhana had done. He was extremely angry. And angry Indra isn't so good. I wouldn't want to be on the angry Indra list. So, you know, Indra, he was fuming. You know, fume. He is fuming. And he was pacing and smashing his fist into things. And so finally he said, because also, you know, after the Pandavas came, they went back down the mountain, and Duryodhana, he wanted to insult them even more. So what he wanted to do was, they were actually staying with hermits, and Duryodhana wanted to set up by this lake. And Duryodhana wanted to go there set up a big enjoyment place and just like flaunt his wealth in front of them while they're poor and they're eating simple, you know. So that was about, enough was too much. So Indra, he found out about this, and he got so angry, you know. So he said, Chitrangada, come here. So Chitrangada, he came. He said, I want you to go down there. He said, I'm the king of Bhu, Bor, and Swa. He said, I'm the king of the three worlds. And that includes the earth. He said, so this Duryodhana, he said, these human beings, they don't know what virtue is. He said, but I am the king, so I shall give the danda, I shall give the punishment to Duryodhana, because these human kings, they are blind. But sometimes I wish Indra would come down here and fix things a little bit, but anyway, that's something else. So Indra, you know, he come down, he said, Chitrangada, you go down there with your tribe of Gandharvas and you capture Duryodhana and you bring him to me in chains, and I will teach him a lesson, you know. So Chitrangada, he was the man to do it, because he was very, he always looking for a fight, actually. Chitragata, I'll give you a little story to illustrate his nature. Ravana, you know, Ravana, the ten-headed Ravana, the Rakshasa king, he went to Swarga, and he came, and he wanted to, you know, get Indra to surrender. He went to Amravati, and there's a big, you know, gate, and he has this sword. Actually, it was a sword that Hiranyakashipu used to use. And this sword is very deadly sword. And you take this sword and you just say, go here, kill. And the sword will fly and kill them. So he had this sword in his hand, you know, the big pommel on the bottom, and he boom, boom, bonk, and he knocks on the door. He's trying to get, you know, trying to get Indra to surrender. And nobody really wants to open the door. But Chitrangada, he's standing there. Oh, God. I hate this stuff. Dang phones. I should turn my phone off. Okay, so the thing is that he's banging on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And Chitrangada, nobody wants to go to the door. Because everyone's kind of scared of Indra, of Ravana. And so Chitrangada, he's like, you know what? This guy is so arrogant, I'm going to teach him a lesson. And you know, everyone's scared of him. He's the guy who makes the whole world scream. But Chitrangada's like, you know what? I'm going to teach him a lesson. So he goes to the door and he opens the door and he sticks his head out and Ravana's there. He says, you go to Indra and you tell him that I want him to surrender. So Chitrangada said, you know, do you know who I am? He said, I'm the king of music. I'm not the messenger boy for some ten-headed cockroach. And then he grabs this, he had a cane, you know, walking cane or just some kind of stick, you know. Yeah, a baton. It was a baton, and he smashed Ravana on the... Ravana goes to hit him with the sword, and he smashed him on the hand and knocked the sword out of his hand and then popped him right in the face, and then he slammed the door in his face. So, you know, Chitrangada, he had he had a bit of an attitude. So, you know, then he went to the... So Chitrangada went down there with all his boys, you know. So they're waiting at the lake. And so then, you know, they're just singing and doing, you know, singing different songs. And Apsaras came and they're dancing and they're just kind of hanging out and waiting for Duryodhana. Because they got nothing better to do. So they're just going to sing and then Apsaras start to dance and they're eating some mangoes or something. And, you know, then the scouts come. The scouts come because, you know, the king, when Duryodhana's going, you know, the king, he has soldiers and then... There's guys who go in the front. I don't know what the military term for that is, but there's like a scouting party that makes sure that everything's okay, you know. So yeah, reconnaissance. That's it. So they ride out and there's a couple guys. So they see all these Gandharvas, and they say, you know, the king is going to stay at this lake. You must go. So Chitrangada says, king? King of what? He said, I am Chitrangada, and I am in service of King Indra. He says, so who is the king that you serve? So then they say, King Duryodhana. He says, you tell this Duryodhana that if he comes here and he wants to kick us out, he better bring his army and weapons, because we will fight. So then they went back, and so then they came, you know. They had Karna and... Duryodhana and his 100 brothers, Dushasan, but Bhishma and all them weren't there. But so, you know, they came, they were fighting, and Karna, he was a good fighter. But, you know, the Gandharvas, they were superior. And actually, you know, they were fighting with Karna, and all of a sudden a whole bunch of them just surrounded him. And they had their weapons, and he got scared. He ran away, actually, right from the battlefield. Like, whew, he ran away. And so then they captured Duryodhana and all his brothers and all his wives and all the wives that his brothers brought with them. And all these people, they put him in chains. And only a few soldiers, they managed to escape. So they went to the Pandavas, because the Pandavas were nearby. And they said, you know, Duryodhana has been captured. Please help us. So he was kind of like, you know, Bhima started to laugh. Bhima said, you know, what we were going to have to fight a whole war now the Gandharvas have gifted us. But Yudhisthira said, no. He said, our fight with the Kauravas is an internal thing, but other, you know, they're our family. He said, when it's the Pandavas against the Kauravas, it's 5 against 105. But if somebody else fights with the Kauravas, then the Kuru is counted as 105. I don't know if he's basically saying, you know, they're family. You ain't, you know, they're not going to mess. So he said, Bhima and Arjuna, you go and, you know, take care of it. So Arjuna showed up and he fought very mildly because, you know, Chitrangada was his, he taught him how to sing and dance. So, you know, they were fighting and very mildly, and then finally Chitrangada just, you know, decided, he kind of just flew down and he said, you know, why do you want to defend them? And Arjuna said, why did you capture? He said, they were going to insult you. They were going to put a whole camp here and try and flaunt their wealth at you. And Duryodhana was standing right there. And Arjuna said, and then Chitrangada said, you know, Indra sent me here to pick him up and capture him. And Arjuna said, hey, I'm not some daddy's boy that, you know, needs daddy to come rescue him. I'm going to do it myself. He said, if I'm going to conquer Duryodhana, I'll do it my own power. So then he said, let them go. So then they untied everybody. So Duryodhana, you know, he felt very, he felt horrible. So he actually, he said, I will give you benediction in the future. So then they went. And then Duryodhana went away. So then he went back, and this is when Durvasa Muni came to visit them, actually. Now, Durvasa Muni is a grumpy sage. There's some story, if I had time, I would tell. Durvasa was staying with the Kurus. And Duryodhana served him very well, actually. He kind of ate his pride, let's say. And he served Durvasa very well. So Durvasa said, what's the benediction you want? He said, I will give you benediction. What do you want? And he's a powerful sage. And Duryodhana, you know, he started thinking. And he said, I want you to visit Yudhisthira in the evening. So now the thing is that they had Durvasa has 1,000 disciples. Now, the Pandavas, they had this plate, and as long as Draupadi didn't eat from it, it was unlimited. But after Draupadi ate, then, so she would always eat in the evening. So what happened was, the Pandavas had fed everybody, and then Draupadi ate. And then Durvasa Muni showed up with his 1,000 disciples. And he said, and so Yudhisthira was there, and he said, Yudhisthira was greeted them, and they were talking, and Durvasa Muni said, Yudhisthira said, oh, I'm so glad to see you. And, you know, Durvasa said, we're actually very hungry. And do you have anything to eat? And Yudhisthira's like, oh, no. He said, just wait. You should take a bath, and then we will feed you. So he went in there with all his disciples, and they were washing. And Draupadi, you know, they were in a big situation. And so Draupadi, how are they going to feed him? And they were afraid they were going to get cursed, you know. So Draupadi, she started to cry, actually. And she started to pray to Krishna, you know, please help. So Krishna actually showed up. And he said, Draupadi, I have come. I'm hungry. Do you have anything to eat? And she said, we don't have anything. So Krishna started looking around. He said, you sure you don't have anything? So he was looking around, and there was one of the pots. And in the pot, there was one grain of rice and a little vegetable. So Krishna, he got that and he ate it. And he said, oh, now I am very satisfied. So then he went away, and, you know, Durvasa Muni and all his disciples, they all of a sudden they were full. And Durvasa Muni started saying, you know, Yudhisthira, he probably made a whole feast for us, but we're not hungry. And he said, you know, I am a great yogi, but Yudhisthira is also known for doing lots of tapasya, and if we make him angry, he make and say we're not hungry, then he may curse us. So they actually got scared of Yudhishthira, and he remembered also how he had offended Ambarish. Right. And he said, I am not going to get offend a Vaishnava again. So he said, they all ran. And so the Pandavas were all scared, and so they went to check on Durvasa, but they were all gone. So anyway, I think it's time. So Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.